Imagine someone walks up to you and brings you a gift. Nicely wrapped. It's got a lacquer bow on it. Looks very nice. I mean, can you feel that joy? Can you feel that? You know, there's now. I don't know who of you like it, but I'm a gift receiving person. But just see that person coming to you, and I mean, you've got this desire in your heart. You know, it's your birthday, so you've got this list. Like my boys, I mean, they've got this massive list of what you want, and now you know it's the size. It's the right size. It's the right size, man. This thing is like, this is exactly what you're thinking, what you want. So what do you do? What do you do? I mean, it's like you barely can wait for them to give it to you, right? So they're standing in front of you. They've got this thing that's wrapped and they give it to you. What do? You shake it. Is that the first thing? Right? But does that not stir excitement in your heart? I mean, you can open your eyes now, but I want to talk to you about the gift. All right? So if that does not stir your heart, then we can have prayer for you afterwards. But receiving gifts, isn't that one of the most lacquer things? Who does not like their birthday? Okay, Ross, we can pray for you afterwards. It's all right. It's yeah, someone just lay hands on him. Fivefold ministry. Right. But I don't know about you, and I mean, certainly my boys love their birthdays. You know, I ask, what is the first thing when you do, when you receive a gift? You know, I'm supposed not to talk out of the house, I guess, but when Lorette receives a gift, she will take that thing. She will not shake it. She will, with great care, start going on the sellotape, removing it without making a mark on the thing. Frommel op, sit om neer. Then does the other one. By this time now, I'm already like losing it. I mean, yes. Yeah, I mean, this, watching her open a gift to me is like torture. I mean, I would divulge state secrets just to have her open the thing quicker. But she loves prolonging that excitement about whatever's in this box or thingy. She loves doing that. I mean, I go in for the killer. You just see paper. I want to know what's in there yesterday already. So, and I think I've transferred that anointing to my sons because there's no grace. You know, I'm actually considering wrapping their stuff in newspaper these days because... Have you seen what wrapping paper costs? It's insane. So I'm like, yo, leiding is net so duur as your percent. It's crazy. I don't buy cards anymore because, yeah, you've had $50 for a thing and then it sits there and then tomorrow it gets thrown in the dustbin. That works not for me. Sorry. So maybe just before I get into the gift, who of you were last year last week? Ja, waar is die rest van julle? Ja, this all reveals lots. Yeah. So if you haven't put up your hand, put it up quickly now. In any case, last week, just maybe to bring you, you know, we've had, actually, I sat thinking, we had such an amazing couple of weeks because first we had 3 weeks of hearing God's voice, right? We were like taught, okay, how to hear God's voice, how to understand this. And then last week we got into 2 Timothy, and we looked at 2 Timothy and how Paul speaks to Timothy and encourages him and so on. So I just want to maybe give a bit of context, and then we're going to get into the gift. So we're going to unwrap this boyki just now. All right, so last week, just for those that weren't here, which is like two-thirds, Paul writes this book of 2 Timothy to Timothy, and it's in a time where there's lots of persecution. In the time of Nero's persecution, and I mean, Nero is slaying Christians like it's going out of fashion, you know. It was almost the case. So he writes this letter to Timothy, and he actually encourages him in a few things, but one of the things he's saying is, listen, the first thing at least he says is, you've got a legacy in your mother. In other words, his mother was quite a woman of God, and he goes, "You're the man because of that." Which to me is quite powerful. I don't know how many of you have had that, but I didn't have that. I don't have that legacy in my life where my dad served God for many years. Been religious, yes, but not seriously serving God. Got born again, years ago, just shortly after me, and has been serving God ever since. But he's got this legacy in his mother, and then he reminds him of the fact that there was hands laid on him, and he received this gift from God, which he now needs to steward and look after. And then he says to him, "Listen, what you have received from me, now you take that and you train other people. Train those that will be faithful with this to run with it." Okay, so it's not a question of you've received this thing just to keep for yourself. You need to give it out. And then he uses the analogy of a soldier. You know, and I said last week, if you were in the army, you can't tell the corporal, "I'm not doing it." You know, when the corporal says you does it, you does it. All right? Goeie Afrikaans, the Engels. Any case, so when you're a soldier, you need to stay focused. You see, if you're a soldier, you've been enlisted to do what a soldier does. You can't get involved with, you know, civilian type stuff. So you have to stay focused with what you are enlisted to do. So that's what the one thing that he says to him. All right, you need to stay focused. And the next thing which he says to him, you need to study the word, you need to study scripture, you need to show yourself approved to be able to do this. Rightly dividing the word. Now you can only rightly divide the word if you understand it, if you've been in it, if you've studied it, all the rest of it. So now it's just encouraging you. Now in the context of this, please keep putting in your mind that there's persecution going on. So I'm reading this and I'm thinking, if I was Timothy, I mean, you know, when Jesus, after they crucified Jesus, the disciples locked themselves in rooms, right? They were like, bong. Now there's major persecution going on. What is going on in Timothy's mind? He must have been scared out of his wits. All right, so, and then he makes a comment in chapter 3, where he says to him, "Listen, Timothy, tough times are coming. Difficult times are coming." And when he said that, when I read that, I thought, you know, it's difficult times are coming because the financial system is crashing, or, you know, Nero's persecution is becoming even worse, you know, or the beast is going to reveal himself and the Antichrist is going to climb out of his box. And it's none of that. And he says, "Listen, Timothy, difficult times are coming because people are going to become self-centered. They're going to have their ears itching because they only want to hear what they want to hear. And you need to preach the word correctly. And you need to preach the truth. You cannot afford to tap off on the truth anymore." Which to me was like, wow. You know, if I've ever seen the Bible being relevant, it is relevant right now, because isn't that what's going on around us? Where people become so focused on their daily stuff and what they have and don't have, and, you know, what they still need, and what they actually don't want to serve Christ. Because when you come to the cross, you die. And from that day on, it's no longer about you and me. It's about Him. But you need, see, that means that I'm dead. Now, I've never heard a dead man speak. Yet. Maybe when we raise him from the dead, he'll speak. But when he's dead, he's dead. Well, listen, bro, I must just say, if you... Philip, if that's your way of communicating, people just... Good luck in that block. Especially in the letting out of wind, you know, it's just like... Whoo! We'll understand if you move, it's okay. All right. But I don't see that as speaking, you know. They don't communicate. It's like, "Oh, that's just a sign that I'm dead." All right. Please delete that from the tape. All right. And then, you know, after he says this is what people is going to do, he says to him that, "Listen, these guys will have the appearance of being godly, but they deny its power." Now that gets me. Because how many people that call themselves Christians looks all godly, but with no power? And that causes me to go, whew, systems check, but systems check. Systems check. I need to make sure that I'm right. Okay? And they seek, these guys that are like this now, they seek, we spoke about them coming in, creeping into the house. And like I said last week, you know, if there's a creepy crawl in my house, it's got one thing that it's going to do, and it's die. Swatter, foot, I don't care, doom. A creepy crawly will die. And in the same way, they come into the people of God, and they've got itching ears, and they actually lead the people of God astray because they make, you know, this almost godliness look like it's fun. And then people don't do what Christians do because there's other things to do, and they're leading them astray. So we need to be aware of them. And the one thing that he says about these people as well is that they'll sit in teachings and they'll learn and they'll do all these things, but they refuse to change. There's no change of character. There's no, from who they were, there's nothing that changes to the biblical model of who they should be. You know what? And we as children of God need to be aware of this. We need to wake up to see who's those people. And I mean, I really pray that there's none of you here. But if there's those people that are not fully sold out, let's help them to become that. Right, so, and then the last thing that he says to him in chapter 4 is he says to him, you know, listen, Timothy, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Now, I don't farm. But it's like sowing seed when it's time or not. That's essentially what he's telling him is, listen, you've got the seed of the word. I want you to continuously sow this thing. You need to be ready to preach it, buddy. And how many of us are shy when that happens, when we need to preach the word? I hope none of you. Right, so that is sort of the context that happened last week. And before I get into the scripture for this week, getting back to the gift. Now, there's many of us that are sitting here tonight that you just love receiving gifts, right? Some of us enjoy that more than others. I've got a friend, really, this is how he is, but he don't celebrate his birthday. To him, it's like he doesn't have a party, he doesn't have nothing. You don't have to bring him a gift. You know, he's just moving on in life. He really just doesn't like it. Which is good for my pocket. No, I'm just joking. Yeah. But I know many of you like your gift, so we'll buy you one. It's okay. But some of us like it more than others. Some of us like to receive it rather than give it. You know, there's a lot of our love language that plays into this in how we give and receive gifts, right? So who here loves receiving gifts? Okay, you can be honest. This is a church. Right? Do you like receiving? Who of you like giving gifts? This is a good place. All right, my birthday is. yeah. All I say is, I'll say this: if you want to plan anything for any particular year, you better do it before I have my birthday, because once I've had my birthday, that year's over. In any case, no, but it's true. You can check the calendar, huh? Then the new year starts. But you see, then you can't do something for that year anymore. So, all right. So, for some of us, the mystery of opening that gift, that thing that you get it, you know, like when I started, you know, you see that thing, you're wondering what's in there, you know, it's the right size, what's happening. Yes, this is awesome. I wanna just open this thing. And I mean, I'm like that. If my wife and my sons come through the door singing happy birthday and they've got this thing and I know, man, they've listened. And I'm like, you know, normally there's breakfast as well, but it's like, vat die breakfast weg, gee die gift. We'll first open the gift, then we can eat. You know, it's like, feed me. Any case, now you know more than me about me than you should. But any case, all right. But I really just enjoyed it. But when I looked at this gift thing, I realized that we serve a God who loves to give gifts. That to me is so awesome, because if we looked, I just typed in gift, in the searcher thingy, Genade, ek ken nie die naam van dit nou. Any case. So, no, no, not Google, man. That Bible program. Any case. So it kicked out a few things. And I just want to highlight a few. The first gift that God gives us in Romans 5:17 is the gift of righteousness. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen this, but this is the gift. Now, I just want you to be attentive to see what God actually comes and he brings to us as a gift. The stuff that you and me are supposed to unwrap. Right, so the first thing he does, he says, I bring you a gift of righteousness. And Romans 5:17 says this, for if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. So Adam brought death, but Christ brought life. You know that righteousness, you know what it means? It means to be in right standing with God. Now wait, whoa, pause. To be in right standing with God. It means that I'm standing in the right place. I've got the place of favor. I'm standing next to my Heavenly Father in a place of authority. If I'm in right standing with God and you aren't, who's in the place of authority? Me, right? So he says here that the first gift that he brings us is the gift of righteousness. Wow. Come on. That's awesome, right? Thanks, Philip. Then the second one, which he gives us, is the gift of eternal life. Now, whoa. There's a lot about going, you know, if you look at movies and stuff, and everybody just wants to live forever. I've got it. I've got eternal life. I'm going to live forever. You limit my suffering silence. You know, you must do your wishful thinking as much as you like. This is a gift that God gives us. It's the gift of eternal life. So in Romans 6:23 says this, for the wages of sin is death. So that's what we should have got. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So eternal life is locked up where? In Christ Jesus. So we receive the gift of eternal life through Christ Jesus. I had a chat with, we're moving house and we've got a pool in the house now. Now obviously being in a church with just close to 500 million little kids, no, I'm joking, it's about 60. But on a Sunday morning it feels like, it feels like about 500 million of them. Even more. Okay, so it's like 200 million something. Like we can't count them. They're just everywhere. But in a church like this, you cannot afford to have a pool that's open. So I phone this guy, Josie. Josie is my man. Josie comes through. And Josie just lost his wife. But Josie is not born again. You know, and I saw the concern in his life for the fact that he does not know where his wife is. And that for that fact, where is he going when he dies? And I explained the gospel to him and so on, but you know, I'll still have a few chats with him. But I just saw the difference of actually being in a place where I know I'm in right standing with God and I've received eternal life. With my Heavenly Father, I'm fine. I've received those gifts. Right? So that's the second gift that he's given us. Then the third gift that he gives us. Well, this is not in order, but this is just what I've listed. It's the gift of the Holy Spirit. And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That to me is amazing, because once I receive him, I receive that gift. I've got the gift of the Holy Spirit living and dwelling in me. Who does what? Train me, equip me, help me, instruct me, all the rest of it. And then the fourth one is this. In 1 Corinthians 7 verse 7, you see it there. I don't know if you've read this. See, but each has his own gift from God. Wow. So don't tell me you got nothing. Because it says here, each has his own gift from God. One of one kind and another of another. So we don't have the same gift, right? We all have different gifts that God has given us, that he's come to us and he said, listen, my son, my daughter, there's a gift. Like when we close our eyes, this is where the Heavenly Father stands in front of you and goes, I've got this gift for you, man. I want to give this to you. Now, having read this, we get to 2 Timothy 1 verse 6 to 7. Which is why where I want to pick up in Timothy again where we left off last week. Because so I mentioned this last week, but I thought I just want to go a bit deeper into this week. In verse 6 he says this, for this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear but of power and love and self-control. Powerful piece of scripture there. Now, if I was Timothy and I was young and I got this, don't you think I would have been encouraged? Okay, so the first thing that Paul now reminds him is, listen, Paul, Timothy, the gift that you've received is not the work of any man. No one has come to you and said, listen, dude, we hereby dub thee, your holiness, Timothy, the preacher. No one has come and done that. You have received this gift from God. You know, in our lives, it's very important for us to realize that we have received gifts from God. That this amazing Heavenly Father who loves to give gifts has come into our lives and he's given us that. What's that scripture that says every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights? Now, come on. Does that not show you God's heart in terms of giving you and me gifts? And according to that previous scripture, you have received your own gift. The thing with a gift is this. You need to unwrap it. You see, I can give you a gift. You can go, whoa, this is such a cool gift. Thank you. And then put it in your cupboard. You know what? It will stay a cool, awesome gift for the rest of his life in your cupboard and do nothing. And some of us are like that, that is saying, God, thanks for my gift. It's awesome. Thank you. I'll carry on. Maybe it's time that we unwrap a few gifts in our lives. Okay, so you received the gift by the laying on of my hands. It actually cost you nothing, Timothy. It's cost you nothing. You received it as a gift. And that's another thing about a gift. It's you've done nothing to earn it. Now, just from our humanity, I don't know about you, but the moment I have not worked for something, sometimes it has less value. That's why just giving stuff away free is not always a good idea, because you're just feeding a monster. But when people work for stuff, that's why you have to work for a salary. Suffer in silence, you'll enjoy it. All right? But it cost him nothing. You've done nothing. Now, maybe that's the problem with the gifts that we've received from God, is the fact that we've received them free. Therefore, it does not have the value that it would have had if we worked for it. Therefore, we don't open it. So he says to him, listen, you've received it by the laying out of my hands. It's free. It's from God. Don't despise it. In actual fact, he says in the next part of that verse, he says, I want you to fan it into flame. Now, who of you have made a fire with wet wood? You know, there's few things that irritates me, like buying a packet of wood from Checkers or OK or somewhere, and getting home and wanting to make braai vleis, and you know, you've got smoke vleis. I mean, two packets of blitz later, and it's like the only thing that's burning is the blitz. Now, that freaks me out. Now, in the same way, I see this, that Timothy, there's this gift in your life, but it's just smoking. So I need you to fan it into flame. I need you to come and start blowing on it. I need you to put in some small pieces of sticks and stuff and get this thing going. So that tells me of something that Timothy has to do. You see, this is the unwrapping of the gift. This is where he's saying to Timothy, listen, you've received this gift, now unwrap it. Fan this thing into flame. Start working on it. Recognize what God has placed in your life, and I want you to work at it. Don't just leave it there on the mantle or in your cupboard or wherever you've put it, but take it out and start working at this thing. Yes, you've received it free, but please start working at it. And then verse 7, he says, it comes through the Holy Spirit. Because you have received the spirit of love, of power, love, and a sound mind. In other words, Timothy, regardless of what's going on, Nero's doing his little thing, he's persecuting everybody, he's killing guys, he's hanging them, he's burning them, he's doing all this stuff, but you've received this gift, now it's locked up in the Holy Spirit, because you have not received the Holy Spirit to go creep weg. This is not for hiding. But you've received the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Now, let's maybe look at that. Now, power is this. This is the Strong's Concordance definition of power. Dunamis. Specifically, miraculous power. Usually, by implication, a miracle itself. The ability, abundance, meaning, might, mightily, mighty, mighty deed. Worker of miracles, power, strength, violence, might, wonderful work. Now, whoa, wait, just use them brain. Compute. Think about this. You've received the spirit of power, dunamis, dynamite, explosive, massive power that's been deposited in you. That's what you've received. Not this spirit. He's not this weenie dude. You know, it makes me think of that ad. The black hat ad. Oh, you kicked sand in my face. Any case. Never mind. There's this Frisk Chris. And he kicks sand in this face of this teeny little guy. I mean, you could count his ribs. That's how thin he is. So he kicks sand in his face and then he gets up, but he's had black cat peanut butter, and he takes this Frisk oak and he hoists him over his shoulder and he goes, black cat peanut butter. In any case, you see, we have not received the spirit of timidity, not a weak spirit, but we have received the spirit of power. But I doubt it that we actually live like we've received the spirit sometimes. Sometimes we make him into this thin little oaky. Now, just read that again. Just that first part tells me that if you've received the spirit of power, what should you do? What should be in your life? Aha! Should I get that? But, oh, sorry, it's only for pastors. Yes, I know. We only do it on Sundays. The rest of the week we off. Okay, but this is the spirit. So Paul is writing and saying, listen, Timothy, yo, wake up, my man. You have received the spirit of power. You can stand up in the midst of what you're facing at the moment, not based on who you are, but based on the spirit that's in you, and you can do miraculous things. You see, we're living in a day and age where things are going a slightly pear-shaped. You know what makes the difference? It's the spirit in you. Wherever you are. That's why in Acts 1:8 he says, wait, you will receive the spirit of power to be my witnesses. Where? Everywhere. If need be, pak jou tasie en trek vir hulle. Because there where you need to go, where God's sending you, that's where he wants to use you. Wow, come on. And then in Luke 12, verse 12, he says, You, when you have the Spirit within you, when you're in the difficult times, that's when He'll give you the words that you need to speak in that season. So you know what this tells me is that doesn't matter where I go, the Spirit's there. In great power to help me and assist me to glorify Christ wherever I go. Because through Him revealing Himself in and through me in that situation, what's going to happen? Miraculous stuff. Okay, so it's only me getting excited about this. Then the next thing He says, listen, you've received the Spirit of love. The ability to love regardless of what is done or not done. So in actual fact, this love does not depend on the other person. You see, because many times we base the way that we love people on what they do and how they respond. Not true. If they're nasty, I go, not true. Okay, that's the lady version. Dude version is, it's the ability to actually love like God's loved us. Because you see, He loved us when we were still sinners. Now wait, just think. You were still a sinner. You were still a sinner. You have not said yes to Him, yet He loved you. Yet when we encounter people that are sinners, have you thought about this? What does dogs do? Bark, right? Ducks? Katte? Rasnet. But they only do that why? Because that's how they were created. Now, if someone has not given their life to Christ, what do they do but waste? They're professional Philistines. They are unsaved. They do not have Christ in their life. How can you expect them to be like a Christian if they don't have the Spirit of God in them? Yet, when we love people, we expect them to love us like Christians do. Can they do that? Not. So, you do all the loving. In actual fact, it's that unconditional love. It's that I'm going to love you regardless of what you're doing, my man. Because I've got Christ in me. I've got the power of Christ in me. I've got His love in me, and therefore I can love you even though you slap me in the face. And that's why Jesus can tell the guys, when He slaps you, you turn the other cheek. Praise the Yira, I never had to do that yet, but it's Marasession. No, nobody needs to test it. It's fine. Okay? Now, obviously, when we speak about love, what scripture comes to mind is Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. Now, I've done this in a service before, but just read through that thing slowly. You see, that love that we read there has nothing to do with me. In actual fact, I don't think we can love like that from our fleshly nature. We need the supernatural power of God to be able to love people like that. But this is what He's saying to Timothy. Timothy, you have received the Spirit. Hello. So in other words, you and I can love like that. Yeah. Then the last thing is self-control. That He says there. The ability to control yourself. Your appetites, your wants, your desires, your decisions, and your actions. It sounds like hard work. Not really. Huh? Taming this thing. Huh? And this thing. Very brain that altijd will, you know, thinking, and sometimes it's thinking, and other times it thinks less. But when we have self-control through the Spirit of God, it means that I can govern where this and what happens and how it happens and so on. And the more I submit under the Spirit of God, the more my actions and stuff start lining up with His godly plan for my life. How awesome is that? I mean, come on. And He's saying, Timothy, listen, my man, persecution smusion. You got the gift, you've got the Spirit, now fat on fluffy. Now I want to say that to you today. I don't care what you are facing, what's happening in your life. If you've received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you have the gift. A gift that is deposited in you. You know what? I trust in God tonight that He's going to release a few things here. Because there's some gifts here in this place that are sitting there dormant, doing nothing. Sitting on a mantle, nicely packaged. And it's nonsense. And all the that's happening is the enemy of your soul is going, I want. Now, interesting, of those three things, in Galatians 5, 22 to 23, it mentions some of them. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? Okay, now, wach a biki. Okay. So, in other words, I can pick a pear from a vineyard. Right? I'm sure they've genetically done something already. You sure we can't do that? No pears from vineyards. Okay, but can we get then grapes from a pear tree? No. So in other words, you're saying that the tree is going to bear the fruit that it should. Caramba. So come on, guys. I'm sure you get this now, but the fruit, not fruit. In other words, this is a package. The stuff is in there. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. For one. So if I've got the Spirit telling me, what do I have? So don't give me the cheap answer and tell me you can't love. Then we need to check your Christianity. Something has blown up somewhere. Right? So it's the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and? Caramba, kyk nou net hoe lekker is daai. Interesting is that against these things, there are no law. Even to today. If you bear this fruit, no one can show anything against you that's wrong. Now this to me is awesome. Because you see, I've received the Spirit of God. Therefore, I can have this fruit in my life. I just need to unwrap the gift. So you see, you and I are sitting here tonight. And I think there should be some unwrapping. Because you see, I think the Spirit of God has come into your life. And He's given you gifts. He's given you stuff that He wants you to do. And because of your own unbelief, even if it's just in your own abilities, you are refusing to open those gifts. And I want to tell you this, that the body of Christ is at a loss if you do that. Because you see, the gifts and the stuff that is placed within you needs to be a blessing to those that are around you. You see, because if you've given your life to Christ, we've said this, you've died. So you're no longer living for yourself, you are living this life for Christ. So a few things just for you to remember, and this is sort of my conclusion, is recognize the gift God has given you. If you don't know what it is, I pray that you will hunger and thirst till you know. Hunger and thirst for God to know what is bestowed upon you, what is given, what is deposited within you so that you can live in that. Because you know what? You will only have true fulfillment in your life if you tap into the design that God has placed within you, in my opinion. Right? Then once you recognize, once you know what this gift is, once you understand what it is, then I need you to steward it. Fan it into flame. Work at it. You see, I'm a qualified plumber. I did not become that by an email course. You see, because plumbing requires me to walk up into a house and go fix a few things to be able to understand it, know how it is, and so on. And I can tell you, when I started my apprenticeship, I was scared, man. You're working in another man's house, and if he's bigger than you, and you mess up his house, you know, a small flood. Oops, the pipe came loose. But you see, 20 years later, I can walk into any house, do anything, because I know my trade. And in the same way, when you start out with this gift, you're going to feel a bit clumsy. You're not going to know how to use it. You're not, you know, it's like taking a sword for the first time. I mean, if you want to see chaos, give the kids in this church of ours swords. They can wield it, but with no skill. They'll swing that thing. I mean, it can. Dirk, verstaan as jou kind uit die kerk uit al dan. But I even now, I mean, I see my boys when they've got a, I made them sort of wooden swords. I mean, it inevitably blood flows because they can't stop it in time. But you see, when the more you use it, you become ninja. You know, you can go and you stop it there. And it's the same with a gift in your life that God has given you. And initially, you can't use it with skill. But the more you use it, the more you work with it, the more you play with it, the more skillful you become, and the more God can use you in that thing. So can I say this to you? Fan it into flame. Don't stop the first time that you've tried and it doesn't work. You see, because once you've tried and it doesn't work, what does the enemy do? He uses that disappointment like fuel in your life. And it causes you to stop. So don't do it. Okay? And then obviously recognize the role of the Holy Spirit and what's been deposited in you. You see, you cannot do that out of your own strength. That's not where the power of it lies. That gift is locked up with the Holy Spirit that is within you. In that power, that love, and that self-control that is locked up in the ability that He can give you. In the fruit of the Spirit that He releases in your life, that's where it's locked up. And you and me need to tap into that. I think tonight is the night where we need to draw a line in the sand and say, okay, Lord, no more. We settled for second best, no more. We want more. I want to step into these gifts that you've given me in a greater measure. And tonight, if I've been scared, then I'm saying no more. I'm not scared anymore. I refuse. And then this last scripture, 1 Peter 4 verse 10. As each one has received a gift, do what? Use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Do you know that was in the Bible? You see, so many times we see in church people walking in and you can see a gift on that person's life, but they refuse to start using it. And that's why I say the body of Christ is at a loss if you are not stepping into that which God has called you to. Then the rest of us here, the others that are in the scripture, are at a loss. So tonight as you're sitting here, I want to declare to you that God has given you a gift. That is clear out of scripture. Our God, that is a gift-giving God, has deposited something in your life. And like I said, tonight is the night where I cannot do it for you. Where you need to draw that line in the sand and say, I am tapping into what you have for me, God. I am refusing to accept not having what you have deposited in me. And you know what? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not yet seen. Without faith, it is impossible. Not almost, it is impossible to please God. So as you enter this journey, because that is what Timothy had to do, is actually go, yo, Paul, you're right. I recognize what you're saying. I'm engaging this in the midst of all this chaos going on around me. I'm engaging this by faith. Not true? So the question is, where are you tonight? Where are you tonight? So I want us, see, unless we start ministering to one another, I want you to turn to one another quickly. And I want you to look at one another and say, this is the gift that I believe I received, and yes, I'm either moving in it or I've neglected it. I've not opened this gift. And I want you to pray for one another. I want you to pray a prayer of faith. I want you to minister to one another so that tonight is the last night that you don't walk in that. So in other words, I want to almost phrase it like this. It's a prayer of life and death. Life hidden in what Christ has got for you, death to yourself. Amen? So, Let's just turn to one another. Let's come. Let's prepare to pray. Let's prepare to pray. If we can have some music, Maestro. So, Father, we come before you tonight, Lord, and we declare that you are God. You have deposited in us amazing things, Father. We just want to tap into that tonight. And I pray that tonight, as there's ministered in this auditorium, that, Father, you will release things in people's lives. That, Father God, like Timothy, they will strengthen themselves in the Lord. That they will start preaching the word in season and out of season. That they will move in the gifts that you have deposited for in their lives. In Jesus' name. Father, I thank you, Holy Spirit, that tonight is the night. New life in people's life. In the mighty name of Jesus. Let's pray. Let's pray. As you were praying, I'm just sitting here thinking that some of you might not know what your gift is, and I really pray that you will discover that. But one of the things that you can start looking at is what is your motivational gift? If you don't want to know what your motivational gift is, please attend Bible school, because we cover it there. But discover what motivates you. You know, what's that thing that in a sense makes you wake up and want to do what you do? And that redeemed in God's hands can do amazing, amazing things. So discover what's your motivational gift. And then obviously if someone has laying their hands on you and you understand what you're called for in terms of ministry, or, you know, no, I'm not talking full-time ministry in your work and so on, what are you flowing in? Then just unwrap that gift more and more. And I want to say, if you start unwrapping your motivational gift, you will see God doing amazing, amazing things through your life. So I'm just going to close with us in prayer, and then we're going to end with a song, and then let's have a bit of a coffee and a kayar. So Father, I thank you. Lord, I thank you that you have deposited gifts in every one of us here tonight, Lord God. And I thank you that tonight is the night that people start unwrapping that which you have placed in their lives, Father God, that they will discover more and more through your Spirit what you have called them for, what they need to do, and how they need to flow in it. So I just pray your blessing on your people as we go. I thank you that your anointing is upon them, Father, that they will preach your word in season and out of season, that they will be ready because your Spirit dwells in them, that they will know what to say in those times. And thank you, Father, for these gifts like eternal life and righteousness that you've given us. We just receive it. And I just pray that we will live in the fullness of those gifts in our lives. So, Lord, I just bless your people as we go, and we thank you that you love us so, so much. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Thank you, Ben.